Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name, your name.
Welcome to Signs of Life Radio. This is your show. It's the fourth Thursday of the month, which means it's the show all about your personal stories. So with this, I would like to remind you of something that Janet Mayer had said to us a few months ago. Actually, it seems that it was a year and a half ago. And this show was about finding comfort with grief and about allowing it to open us to a new space. Your hosts for tonight's show are also Dr. Betty Kovach, author of The Miracle of Death, There is Nothing But Life, and Merchants of Light, The Consciousness That is Changing the World, and our dear friend and fabulous medium, Forever Family Certified Medium, Janet Mayer, who is author of Spirits, They Are Present. And this evening, we take time to remember and to observe and pay attention to and feel free to share and dive deep into ourselves for spirit that is always surrounding us. So we invite you to call in, share your thoughts, your questions, your comments. The call-in numbers are 888-627-6008 or 323-744-4831. Good evening, Betty and Janet.
Hello, Kim and Janet.
Hi, Betty. Hi, Kim. Nice to be here with you, too.
Very nice to be with you. It seems like a long time.
It has been a long time, I think. Did you say who you were tonight?
I always introduce myself.
Oh, I was zoning, I guess.
That's okay. In case anyone else missed it, this is Kim Saavedra, director of the Comwalk Center. And I wanted to say one more thing to set us off on our path this evening. And it was something that I had come across a few days ago that Betty actually said a year ago this month on a podcast interview. And it is something that can help guide us. Nature, your heart, your soul will guide you.
It's interesting that Kim mentioned that the other day, and that seemed to really touch her heart. Certainly, there are laws of nature. There is a presence and intelligence and consciousness in nature, and it is very much in our hearts and our soul. So, yes, we can, if we listen, and as Janet always says, pay attention.
Yes, I do.
The solstice.
Yes,
it's the winter solstice time, yes. Too.
Well, Janet, what do you have to start us off with?
Well, I guess mainly I thought to start with, you know, it's that time of year where these holidays come around. And for people who are dealing with grief, it can be, you know, at times wonderful and at times very sorrowful and sad. And I think that it's a good time to remind them that it's okay to feel both. You know, you can find joy in moments throughout the day. And if you're feeling sad, it's okay to feel that too, that, you know, that's all part of going through grief. And so I think that's something that's really, you know, to remind everybody that, you know, if you get caught up in the spirit of, you know, the holidays, that's great. And, you know, go for it if you want. And if you don't feel that way and you feel like, you know, you need time for yourself or time to grieve or be with, you know, just a couple people, that's okay too. But, you know, don't be hard on yourself, you know, show yourself a lot of compassion and, you know, just kind of remember that.
You know, I like that. Just letting ourselves feel what the situation allows us to feel. I think we have a caller.
Evelyn from New York has a question for us. Good evening, Evelyn.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. How are you this evening?
Fine, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I lost my dad about 6 years ago. And at this time of year, I've just been going through the motions of visiting people and interacting. And I think this year, being the pandemic year and all that's going on, I think I'm just going to spend it with my mom, who has been doing the same thing, feeling the loss. So that's what we're going to do. I know my dad is in heaven, and he is looking down at us. And I just feel there is a lot of, what would you say? People, when I look around me, that are celebrating so much, but I don't feel the same feeling.
And that's okay. That's okay. I mean, you have gone through a lot. You know, you're going through the different stages of emotion, just, you know, and let me just say this, I can totally understand, because I've had two losses around this time of year as well. And I understand that it's hard at times where, you know, you see people, it's almost like you're on the outside, you know, looking in, and you see mm-hmm. people celebrating, and that's okay. I mean, if they want to celebrate, that's great for them. And if you don't feel like you know, can celebrate or you want to celebrate, there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't make, you know, it doesn't make you, if it makes you feel like, oh gosh, why is that? It's okay. You know, you're still dealing with the grief of, you know, the passing of your father. And you have to keep in mind that, you know, those emotions are going to still come up, and they come up in all different ways. And a lot of times they do come up in the holidays because of, you know, there's all the sensories going on. You see something, you hear the laughter, you know, something can trigger it. And you have to, it kind of becomes exhausting. And, you know, if you feel more comfortable in a place with, you know, a couple people, or like with your mom, then I think that's where you're supposed to be. And I think that that's something that is important for you to remember, is that you don't have to do what everybody else is doing just because it's a holiday, or because, you know, it's a certain time of year or people expect it. If you're not in that place, then you're not in that place. And, you know, you'll know when you feel like you want to do something. And if you want to do it, then you do it. And if you don't, then you just step back and say, you know, thank you for the invite. And, you know, I think I'm just going to spend some quiet time with my loved ones. And I feel more comfortable doing that. And if that's what makes you feel comfortable, what makes you feel safe, what gives you, you know, kind of that blanket of, you know, comfort, then I don't feel like there's anything wrong with that. I think that that's totally normal.
Yeah, and this year my daughter moved to Florida as she just got married, and we seem to be a little bit estranged as I'm divorced, and so that adds to the compact of it, and so
sure.
I am just trying to deal with it all together, and doing my best, and I just want to make a real nice Christmas for my mom, because she's 88.
Wonderful.
She's gone through two bouts of cancer, and she's wonderful, and she's very uplifting. So I just want to do this for her, being that there won't be too many other people around. So I just wanted to share that.
And that's good. Thank you. And I think that's important. I think that's great for the listeners too, because you have to honor the place you're in. You have to honor your emotions, and, you know, you have to, you know, move in the direction that you need to move. And I think recognizing that is really important. And there is nothing wrong with being in a place where you have to be. And if you have to say, no, I'm not comfortable doing that right now, then you just don't do that. There's, you know, I think that that's really important that you see it, you know, really clearly. So I think that's great for everyone else to, you know, hear this as well.
Yes. And Evelyn, I was really pleased to hear you say that you really do want to make this Christmas something special for your mother. I mean, you really have a reason to do it. And yes, that's wonderful, because sometimes we don't, and we just do have to remain in that silence and that darkness. And which you have that, and you will do that, but you also have this wonderful person that you want to make something special for. And that's such a gift for her and for you.
Yeah. Beautiful, small, sacred space.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
I really appreciate that.
Yes.
And I wish everybody great blessings at Christmas, as this is such a special time of the year.
It is. Thank you.
So thank you, and many blessings for you and your mother. It will be a blessed Christmas.
Yes.
Thank you. And thank you all.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's important. You know, you have to do it your way, you know, and people are always, you know, they're thinking, oh, come on over, you know, let's get together. We'll have to get out. And I think that, you know, people just have to start realizing, and I think many do now too, that, you know, when you're in a place where you're not ready for that, or you don't feel comfortable with that, you can still celebrate in your own way. And there is nothing wrong with that, you know?
Yeah, I think previously I was just going with the flow. And then all of a sudden it just hit me that I just have to grieve on my own. I think grief comes in all different ways. It comes first maybe with loss, and then anger, and it all comes differently. So you have to do what's good for you.
That's right. Right. Absolutely.
Well, thank you for calling in, Evelyn.
Oh, yes, thank you for listening. I so appreciate it, and blessings to all.
You too. You too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, you know, Janet, it's kind of interesting that this Christmas, for some reason, I don't feel that it is a holiday, or I haven't gotten there yet. But one thing that I do feel so deeply, and it's the time of year that it is so dark during this time of year, and so very different from spring or summer. And I think that darkness takes us to a place of silence and darkness and quietness sometimes.
Right.
And I seem to be there more than with a desire to celebrate. I'm perfectly happy. And I've been doing a lot of work, as has Kim. But for some reason or other, it's the darkness that seems to call me.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. If that's where you're at, you know, I don't...
I think it's an important place to be. Our ancestors felt that we should understand the laws and the rhythms of nature, because in nature, there are those rhythms that synchronize with the human psyche and soul. So it's very, very important that when nature is, for instance, we've just gone through the solstice, that very gradual moving of the planet back toward the sun. But we're in that dark, dark place. And I think it's a wonderful rhythm for human beings, is that we can be in that darkness with this part of the earth and really experience a kind of going inward and allowing that darkness to synchronize us to the rhythms of the planet and see what happens. But then we have on the other side, moving out of that darkness with all of the candles, the light, and the celebration. And that's also the other side of it.
Right. And that's true, Betty. That's true. You said that very beautifully. I like that. That's true. And I think we have another caller, Kim.
Yes, we do. Nelson from Hawaii. Hi, Nelson.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Thank you so much for providing a place for people like us that are grieving, because oftentimes it's hard to find a way to share our feelings and to get in touch with ourselves. I called previously regarding my dog, Charlie.
I remember you.
Yeah. You helped me to find humor in his signs. And thank you for that, when he beat my phone and that kind of stuff. And I have like several surveillance camera footage of him, and they're in such detail that my friends are amazed that these are actually real. But it proved to me that we don't die. But anyway, recently I dropped a pill, and then I was looking for it, and then I found something else behind the cabinet where a photo of Charlie was seeming to be sleeping or pointing at. And now I realize he was pointing at a treat that was in a package that his vet had given him. It had fallen behind there. And I think he was trying to tell me that it was behind the cabinet now. And one other thing is that's new to me is I participated in this Zoom seminar that was free. And the host did a Hebrew numerology called Gematria on me, and found that I had a 9 rating for talents, which is like psychic abilities. I didn't believe that I had such a thing. And then while I was talking with my sister, whose husband passed away, my brother-in-law, he spoke through me to speak to my sister. I was shocked because I don't feel like I am psychic in any way. But my friend who is psychic, who is trained under a prominent psychic here, told me that I am psychic, but I still doubted him. Well, that was answered for me that day when I asked my sister, is your husband trying to tell you I love you? And she said, how's that? Because she used to tell me that every day, and she got irritated and would ask him, why do you tell me that every day? And I told her, that's the way your husband is. And I didn't realize that either. So I know that our loved ones do communicate with us from the other side. But now, do you have any suggestions on how I can help myself improve my ability to get communications from those who have passed?
Oh, sure.
Help others?
We have lots of suggestions, but first, before we go any further, I'm going to tell you that that's really cool about your dog, about the dog treat. I think that's neat. And I think that shows that you're paying attention. You're going about the way you're supposed to. You're doing, you're moving in the right way. And I think that, when you said, somebody said you were psychic. Well, I truly do believe that everyone is psychic. And I think it is, possibly all different levels. So keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. But in order to do that, you could start off. One thing is, Bob Ginsberg wrote a book about mediumship. You could read that. That's a really great book.
Okay.
You can meditate.
Okay.
I would tell you to start by meditating. Now, I know people are like, I don't want to do that. Well, find whatever way works for you and whatever way you want to meditate, whether it's to a guided meditation, whether it's to music, whether it's to silence. If you want to sit a certain way, if you want to do something, if whether you're laying down, you're sitting up, whether you have a candle lit, the light on, the light off, whatever works for you personally, try that. Okay. And I would say meditate.
Okay.
What I always did was when I started meditating, and I don't know if you do meditate or not and if you like it, but a lot of times people get really distracted easily because they think, oh my gosh, I forgot I have to do this.
I
need to do that. Okay. Then grab a pad of paper. And have it with you when you meditate. And when all these thoughts start popping in your head, write it down. And then what that does is it allows it to release from your memory. You can release it and think, okay, now I know I have to do that, but I put it to the side. Now allow me to just sit in peace. And what you're doing is you're connecting. You're connecting with the universe, with God, whatever words you want to use. You're connecting and you're opening yourself up with the light around you, and you're surrounding yourself in that light. And what you're doing is you're kind of opening and you're allowing more to come through. Now, you're not going to automatically know everything. I've never really met any, I've met a few mediums that are, off the charts, wonderful, but it's going to take you time. You're not going to instantly become, a medium or a psychic. You have to work at it like anything else, just like people go to school for something, you have to work at it. And I think for you is you're very in tune. And I think that's really important. And especially when, you have this connection with your dog. And I remember you from last time. And I remember that, how you felt and what you're feeling. And I want you to do that when you're meditating. What are you feeling? And start allowing your senses to come through. Do you smell something? Do you feel something? Do you hear something? What is everything? And you're starting to, what you want to do is you're opening up to experience more fully. And so I think that would be a really great way for you to begin, and then from there, there's tons of books out there. Betty's written some books that are wonderful. I think that you can just start exploring. I know on the Forever Family website, they have a list of numerous books. And the more information you get and the more different angles that you read things from, you start to feel what works for you. I always say if I read one book and there's one line in that whole book that I resonated with and nothing else did, it's totally worth it because it made me see something in a new way. And that's kind of what you want to do is you want to open up to see something in a new way. You don't want to just go around and be like, oh, well, I saw this and I saw that. You have to, also be responsible for what you're, for whatever you're getting and whatever you're seeing. And so try to start working in that vein and see, you know, where it starts to take
you.
Would that help you?
I did. I did try to, I wouldn't call it meditation, but it was an informal way of me to get in touch with the other side. I would close, because one of the mediums last week talked about reading coffee cups, and I thought, that's amazing. And I thought, why don't I apply it as a visual without a coffee cup, but just close my eyes in the dark and focus on the images that come. And I tried that, and I actually got images of my dog so close to my face, I couldn't see his whole face. I only saw his, like, mostly his eyes opening and closing. And I thought, wow, if only I could see his whole face. And I tried to give instructions, but I don't know if he can hear me. That's the kind of things I'm dealing with right now. So,
Well, and you can also, you know, if you take some classes, I know there's online, you know, different online classes that you can attend. There's many of the mediums, you know, Forever Family offer classes. And that's kind of a cool way, too, because you can do it from your own home. You can do it on Zoom. You can practice and then, you know, meet a group of people and connect with, you know, someone who's kind of thinking, you know, the same way you do. And I mean, that's a really good way to, you know, go about it as well. And yeah, and Catherine Nadell, she does, she reads the tea leaves. I've been around her when she has done that before. It's really cool. So I think you have to find your way. And like you said, you tried this and tried that. And really, that's kind of what it is. It can be trial and error. You're never, you know, it's not going to be automatically like it just drops in your lap and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, I know all this. I mean, it doesn't necessarily work like that. It's kind of like you have to find your way and you have to connect in your way. And there's so many different avenues you can take. So, you know, try those. Try the meditation. Try, you know, to read some, get some, you know, online classes are really good. And maybe those that will help you and take you down a path that you're going to really love. Because I think that you would probably really enjoy this. You seem like the type of, you know, you seem like the type of person that could really take it all in. And so, you know, I would definitely, you know, give that a go.
Thank you.
Sure. Betty, anything to offer?
Well, I think you've covered it, Jen.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's great. Yeah. And I think too, Nelson, that one thing about you is that you have your heart has opened to love with your dog. And that has opened you for meditation. So you're on your way, seems to me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You guys are angels. Thank you so much for your advice. I appreciate it. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. You take care. Take care.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, Betty, you know, that is an important thing, too. It's like, I loved that when you said, you know, he opened his heart with love. And really, that is the whole key to all this, is that connection through love. That's why we are doing this. That's why, you know, that's why everybody grieves. You're grieving because you love someone, you know, and I think that when people realize, you know, the deepness, it's not just love on the surface. There's such a deepness to it that, you know, you have to bring that value in of the whole experience.
Yes, it's, I think that, you know, when we talk about grief as a way of connecting us, it is, because it's as you said, we're only grieving because we've loved so deeply. Mm-hmm. And in the West, and now so much throughout the planet, we've lost our ability to really be connected to the other side, so that our grief finds that person and we feel that person can communicate and know that we've not lost anything, that the person is in another phase of life. But it's sometimes difficult in our culture, but the very love itself is going to focus us on the other dimension when that person crosses over. We're grieving, but that grief is like a bridge to the other side, to that person.
Right. I love agree.
Grief. Yeah, love and grief.
Right. I definitely agree with that. Man, and you know, I wanted to also add that, you know, it's important when, you know, like earlier they were talking about, you know, not wanting to experience the holidays. And I think that we have to remember that we can find joy in the holiday and we can find sadness, or there is sadness, and just to not be hard on yourself with that. So I think that's important as well. I just wanted to bring that up again, because I think that's really important this time of year for people to recognize that, because, you know, so many people, we've, no matter if you've had a loss at the beginning of the year or the end of the year, you know, the holidays a lot of times brings up a whole lot. So I think that's important. So.
Yes. And, you know, sometimes even when we still have family members alive, people feel very sorrowful for the past Christmases, the Christmases past, because they're not the same. The children aren't young and it's not the same kind of thing. And of course, they don't have to be the same. Every Christmas will be different. And especially as we're older and the children are grown, or even when they have crossed over, we can remember those Christmases that were filled with joy and activity and children. We can remember the memory as such a gift to remember those times. We don't have to actually be experiencing them. I had a friend whose family members were coming and she was very sad. And I said, well, why are you sad? Your children are coming. And she was remembering her husband who's not there. And I said, you know, we just hold those memories where they're everybody's present in our heart and be so grateful for people who are alive today and with us.
Oh, yeah. And I remember one thing that stuck in my mind that I heard you say many years ago is that you can experience both sorrow and joy
at the same time.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Wow. That's one thing I certainly did realize with the death in my family. And first with my son, Pishdeep, when he was killed at 20 years old, it just was, I grieve deeply, but that I was also in touch with him. But, you know, you can know that a person is on the other side, you know that they're still creating and joyful, they're fine. But at the same time, and that's wonderful. And that really, it's like our grief made the bridge and connected to the other side. But we are also human beings in the physical body, and we were playing a game of a family, you know, and one of the persons or more are missing. And so, of course, we're going to grieve for that, just the missingness that mm-hmm. I feel. But I did learn that I could miss, I could grieve, and at the same time, I could actually experience such deep joy. That was a wonderful gift for me to finally realize that, is that grief can exist. It's just, it's like a continuum. It's there. It's all there. Your grief is there. Your joy is there. Your memories are there. And you can kind of move on that spectrum and experience the wholeness of your relationship with those people, with the persons you love.
Right. I agree. Well, and I don't know, Kim, did you have a story you were going to share, or do you want to wait on that? Or
I did. It had happened right before an episode where you weren't going to be joining us. So I decided to save it. And then we just didn't get to it last time. So I was saving it for when we could talk about it together. There was a loss in my family a year ago in September, a beloved aunt. And on a day that there was a lot of turmoil and upset in the family, a few months after she had passed, I was walking down the hall getting the Ethernet plugged in for the show, and I saw out of the corner of my eye the bottom of someone's legs, like from just above the knee, and they were bare legs and tennis shoes and socks, and it was like walking in motion. So one foot had already stepped into my bedroom by the time I looked there, and the other one was up with the heel up. And I immediately thought that was my auntie. And I thought,
oh my goodness,
it would be just like her to make her presence known when there was so much grief and turmoil surrounding her death and her legacy. And it just really touched my heart. At first, I thought it was those floaters. You know how when you get a little older, you get the floaters in your eye.
And
I thought, no,
floater.
That was not a floater. But that
and
was
the tennis shoes. The floater had tennis shoes.
No, it was way too much.
Floater had tennis shoes.
But that was my first thought, is like, no, that was probably a floater. But I thought, no, the floater doesn't come in living color and motion. So I just wanted to share that with you. That was really amazing. It kind of electrified me a little bit.
Oh, well, for sure. And, you know, and And I'm sure the floaters didn't have tennis shoes. I'm sure it was.
No, floaters don't walk.
You know, and I think too, you know, think about too, like when you saw that, you know, what did you feel from that with her? And you know, and it's like you said, you know that she would be there and she's going to find a way no matter what to come through and say something and say something in her own way that you can recognize, you know, because we all get signs from people that, you know, in our own way, it doesn't have to be the same thing. And, you know, if she's walking, you see her walking, I mean, what, you know, tennis shoes, to me, that's comfort, that's moving, you know, moving forward or moving on, you know, and I'm thinking like, you know, she's letting you know that here I am, I'm, you know, letting you know I'm here and I have tennis shoes on. I mean, you know, what do you think of like that? I always try to take every piece that I see and say, what does that mean to me? And it's like,
oh, and well, she had shorts on. Yeah. She was in pure comfort.
Right. Yeah. So that's, and that's letting you know that she's fine. She's in comfort. You know, she's comfortable where she is. It's okay. And she's letting you know that, which would give you comfort, you know, and it's kind of like, that's kind of a really cool, you know, vision to see, because it gives you, it says more than just what you feel that she would be coming through to tell you. It's giving you like extra pieces. And right. That's what I always like too, when you see something like that, is you do look, you have to go to that extra step. And, you know, people only take that first thing and like, I think it means this. It's like, well, now, wait a minute. What did you see? And so when you just explained it, it's like, it's not your floaters. It's right. Tennis shoes. Right.
And she was walking into Kim's bedroom.
It's see, and personal space, yes. You know?
Exactly. And there's another clue. It's like, it's your personal space. And she's letting you know, she's coming to you like, one-on-one in her own way, but she did it far away, not to scare you. You know, right. If it was right in front of you, you might jump and lose it, where right. She was further away. You were like, okay, wait a minute. She yeah. Just walked into my space. She's letting me know she's here for me and she's giving me this message. And I think that's important for everyone. When you have anything that comes to you, don't just look at the surface and go, oh, I think she means this. Just, you know, sit down and think, okay, wait a minute. What did I experience with that? You know, it's, I saw her in this place, or we were in a garden, or we were in the kitchen, and, you know, where were you? What do those mean to you? And that's a great story to share, because it lets people know it's not just, you know, right. You know, it's not one dimensional. You're going into all these deep, you know, different doors in that one little vision that you saw in that short time. And that's yeah. Beautiful. That, I mean, I bet that was wonderful. Didn't you feel good after that too?
I was kind of stunned that something like that quote could happen to me quote, you know, just you know, but my aunt passed away the same month as Fran Ginsberg, but mm-hmm. I thought, if it were Fran wouldn't walk into my room, she'd come to us because she was our friend, mm-hmm. you know? So I thought, it has to be my aunt. Mm-hmm. It just has to be my aunt saying, yes, I'm here, I know what's up,
you yeah know? And the funny right, right. The wonderful thing about her aunt, I really liked her aunt very much, because she was a no-nonsense person. And with all this stuff going on, by mm-hmm. just making her presence known, it was like she brought sanity, clarity, and into this nonsense.
Yeah, yeah.
And a right. lot of love for yeah. everybody involved.
Yeah, she didn't get hung up, you know.
She never did. And walking things. Into your room,
yeah.
Is it really, Kim and she are a lot alike. I mean, they never, you know, they never have friction or get into controversy and whatever. They're just calm, present, solid, very rooted people. And so her walking into Kim's room was kind of a unity with Kim yeah. and the whole attitude.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Right.
Peacemaker.
It was beautiful after hours of things going on that were stressful and generating all kinds of discomfort.
Right.
You should tell about your mother seeing her sisters.
Oh, yes. My mom passed away just a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, today, actually. Mm. And thank you. She had been seeing her sisters.
Oh, wow.
And weeks. The one aunt that I'm talking about died a year ago in September. And then the second sister died a year ago. One year later in this September. So... she was seeing both of them, and she kept saying, I just see them. They're right over there by the curio cabinet. Don't you see them? And she had said sometimes, you know, that she would see the back of one of my aunt's heads, and she just would say, I want to see your face. I want to see your face. And then she saw her face, and she said she's wearing her pink t-shirt that, you know, I loved. Of course, she'd be wearing that t-shirt. So it gave her a lot of comfort. And when she decided she was done with her battle with cancer and the treatments and what those had done to her system. And she finally said, you know, I'm not getting out of this chair. But those visits from her sisters, I think really gave her the courage to let go.
Yes, I think so. And I love that she saw them and she was saying it out loud that you could hear it. So you knew that she was being taken care of already, you know, that they were already there to, you know, help her along, and that it gave her strength as well to say, you know what? Okay, I can do this, you know, and that, yeah, that's pretty beautiful to be able to be part of that experience, you know, that instead of, you know, going through it and having, I mean, of course you're in grief and, you know, you're having all these experiences, but at the same time, it's like this light comes in, you know, and this is the sisters coming through and saying, you know, we're here for you. And it's giving her that energy to, you know, to let go and to move forward. That's pretty amazing.
I think that's wonderful when that happens. And there was synchronicity in it too. The sister who was there with her was trying to tell Kim and her sister when they should leave LA to go to New Mexico. And
And hospice had said probably 4 to 6 weeks. And then the very morning they said, oh, well, it's not going to happen this week. And my sister called and said, you know, I think you better get here. Like, you don't have to get here by 4 o'clock today, but I'm thinking 24, 48 hours. And then a couple of hours later, when the hospice nurse stopped by, she said, no, it's already in process. She's going to be making her transition in a matter of hours, definitely within less than 24. And so my sister and I from California hopped the plane and arrived there at 2 a.m. and my mom passed at 4:45.
Oh, wow.
We just barely made it, but it was beautiful that my sister was so in harmony with what was going on and the timing that she was using her gut to
out. And that her mother, although she wasn't conscious, I know she knew they were present. She wanted all of her daughters, the three daughters, to be with her. And when she passed, be with her here in this dimension. And she knew she would meet her sisters in the other. So it was a beautiful synchronicity that it mm-hmm. happened that way.
Mm-hmm. And you know that you paid attention and you noticed that and that you experienced. I mean, look at in the way, you know, and I know this sounds strange to say what a beautiful experience you were able to have in that way, where, you know, we get so caught up in everything else of what's going on and oh my gosh. And this, if everybody would just stop and be, you know, have the experience knowing that this is her time and that, you know, you can move with her as she's moving through it. And, you know, you got to experience it and you knew she was going to be with her sisters. Her sisters came through and said, you know, it's like, we're here, let them know we're waiting for you, you know, and then you got to be there too, to be on this side. And, you know, they were over there on that side waiting for her. So what a beautiful transition she was able to have in that experience, you know?
I know. And it was extra nice that she was kind of charting it herself. She knew when she was ready to go into hospice, she was signing her own papers, answering her own questions, and she knew we were coming. You know, and we were talking to her along the way in transit. So mm-hmm. my sister would put the phone up. So, and the hospice nurse said that the auditory function is pretty much the last to go. So she knew we were there for sure.
Yes, she knew. Oh, for sure. She definitely did. And she made sure, you know, she made sure you were there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she did.
You know, I think it's such an important way of looking at death, that when, you know, we all will die. That is our way of stepping out of the body and back into spirit. And if we could look at death when it's time as a miracle that happens. Oh, as a matter of fact, I named the book The Miracle of Death because I became aware of what a miracle it is to be able to step out of this body when we have finished our work in it and grateful for it, and be able to be born in a new body, in a subtle body, in the spirit dimension. And when we choose, we can come back into matter and be born again. I much prefer that miracle than those who want to do all kinds of things to keep their body alive forever. That's not the miracle. The miracle is that we die. And it's just wonderful when we can have people who love us with us as we make that transition. They're here on this side and others that we love are on the other side. It's a sacred experience that needs to be honored and valued and not always see it as a tragedy or something.
Right. I agree. That was beautifully stated, Betty. That was beautiful. Oh, yeah. And that's true. And I do agree with that. And I think that, you know, when people were raised to not understand it, of course there's fear. And I know that, you know, my grandmother passed on Christmas Day, and the morning that we went to see her, you know, and this is many years ago, I was young. And when we went to see her, I remember as soon as I looked at her, she looked at me, and it was almost as if there was this communication. And I was, you know, like a young girl, I was maybe a teen, and I was like, I just looked at her, and it was like, I instantly knew she was saying goodbye and I would never see her again. And I remember thinking, you know, gosh, I shouldn't be thinking that. I knew it. And I was so afraid to say to anyone, like, I think grandma just told me she's leaving, you know, and we left that day. And that night we, you know, got a call, and they called my dad, and they had told her that she had passed, you know, and it was early evening. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, did I do something wrong? What did I do? What did I do? And instead, you know, when I was young, I was afraid because I didn't understand it. Did I somehow do something that made this happen? And, you know, what's going on? And then as I got older, I realized what a blessing that she told me, and I knew, and I got to experience that. But, you know, we were never raised to understand it like that. And I think if we would all move forward with that, it would be really important to say, you know, listen, you know, it's interesting that, you know, if we pay attention and we're aware of it and we have that experience with them, maybe that also helps them move forward.
Oh, I think it definitely does. I think it definitely does. And even after they pass, I think our attitude helps them in the other dimension.
Right, right. I agree.
Stay connected.
Yes, right?
And like you
and let
said,
them go. Let them.
And you had said before, Betty, that there's the bridge between our dimension and the spirit dimension, and they're connected. And you can't go faster than the other one can go with you when you're in the relationship with them.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting. Well, actually, Ishvan, my husband, had that very powerful experience that we have a bridge between us and the other world, and. An example would be of having to move synchronistically together. My son told my husband after my son had passed that I needed to pull up the anchor. I thought I was doing really well. And he said, no, he said, Ishvan said, I realized that if you can completely let go, it will free him tremendously because that will make the bridge, you know, balanced across, and he can really then move. And he said that my son had said to me that if you pull up the anchor, you will see how well the ship can sail.
You'll experience more of me too.
You'll experience it even better. But I was kind of interested in that idea of the bridge, that you can't move too far on one side until the other side does it. You know, if you could break the bridge. And so we have to kind of really work together, both sides, to keep that bridge intact and functional.
Well, it's like a relationship here too. Yeah, is that you've got to be in sync somewhat, to communicate.
Well, that's true.
And continue,
right?
But you said there was something else, Kim.
Janet, another thing that I have experienced, after my aunt died a year ago, September, a couple of times. She was a smoker, and I would occasionally smell just a little bit of smoke when there was no source for smoke that was explainable. And my mom had smoked many, many, many years, and she quit probably 7 years ago. More than a handful of times, probably 7 or 8 times since she's passed, and even while we were in transit there, I would get a little whiff of smoke. And one time it was a little bit like a perfume and smoke. And I just think it's mind-boggling to imagine how spirit can communicate with you by triggering that kind of experience. I wondered if it was a triggering an experience, or if it could be even helping to stimulate a memory or something, but it was such a vivid, olfactory experience.
And that's cool. And I think that does happen. Yes. I mean, I think what you experienced is, it, like you said, it does trigger a feeling or a memory or, you know, just go with that when you smell that and just experience it. You know, that's what they want you to do. They're sending you something, and maybe that's the best way they can send it. I mean, we all have, you know, we take in, you know, something psychically or in a way that it works for us best. Like I was kind of telling Nelson, and for you, maybe that's something that, you know, you are able to catch that really fast, and they know that. So they're like, okay, we're going to send that to you because you really catch on to anything that, you know, any scents or any, you know, smoke or whatever it may be, where, you know, somebody else might have to have it in a different way. And I think when you were definitely very in tune in listening to everything that was going on around you, even when you might not have been thinking you were doing that, you were just really in tune to that moment because you knew you had to get there to your mom. And you were, you know, it was like the sisters were with you and pushing you along and saying like, okay, we're going to give you a sign and we're letting you know you're on the right track. You're doing what you're supposed to, and you know, keep going. And it's kind of, you know, it's an acknowledgement, you know, and that's important. And then you can kind of appreciate it even more afterwards because you start realizing, oh my gosh, I got this. And oh my gosh, this came through. And before you know it, you're thinking, wow, but it was the whole experience. There were so many things that when you were open like that, they just kept sending something in a new way or in the same way, you know, the olfactory where they knew you could smell it. And it's like, all right, we're going to do this to you. And, you know, oh, and remember me, you know, I'm here with you, you know, mom's here and, you know, aunt is here. And I think, or, you know, your aunts are here. And I think that's really important that, you know, you keep you with you sharing that story, letting everyone know also that they can have these experiences. And, you know, everybody does, everybody. And how many times do we miss them? Because we, you know, your head's down in the phone or you're driving or you're walking or you're working, whatever you're doing. But if you just simply, you know, every morning even wake up and just say, you know, and this is what I do often. I'll just like, you know, what do I need to know today? Show me in a way that I will understand the experience, you know? And I think that you were doing this, you know, because, you know, you knew you had to get there to see your mom and you wanted to experience, you know, those last moments with her, which you were able to do. And, you know, not all of us get that. I did not get that. And, you know, I wasn't fortunate for that experience for me. Yeah. But in the same sense, you know, you got to have different experiences within that experience. And how beautiful is that for you to keep and hold on to?
Jenna, I really, really appreciate that. And I think you're right. It just that they knew that that was something I wasn't going to miss.
Right, right. Right. And I think that's, and that was great. And, you know, I'm like cheering them on, like, way to go. You guys did good. And that's what, you know, you kind of have to do with your loved ones and your friends on the other side and say, you know me, you come through in a way that I'm going to understand. And that does happen for me. You know, I have, you know, like Fran and I have different people who come through, friends and my moms and my grandmothers. And it's like, they know me. And so they're going to do something that I'm going to know it's from them. And I mean, I'll stop and I sometimes just laugh because I'm just like, oh my gosh, that was so great. I wouldn't have been able to come up with that, you know? And yeah. I think that that's important is when you acknowledge it. And sometimes, you know, people are like, oh, I don't know. It could have been. Well, instead of doing that, let's all just say, hey, thanks for coming through and giving me that message or giving me that sign. And you know what? I'm not positive, you know, but I'm going to say, yeah, I think it was you and feel free to send me another. And yeah. What that does is it keeps the door open. And it allows your loved ones to continue to come through when they need to. And they're not going to do it every day, all day. They're, you know, they got things to do too. But it's right. Like, they're going to come through and give you something when you need it. And I hear that all the time. People always say, oh, I really needed this. And this happened. And I'm like, yeah, that's how it works. That's how
and,
it works.
And so in often not in outward signs, but you've talked so much, Janet, earlier and other times about they come to us through the heart. We feel yes. Something. We suddenly yes. Just feel it. And I think they're very often when we feel that pang of grief, we can also remember that they're here, you know, that we might express, we experience their presence with grief because they're not present and we feel their presence and we think they're not here physically. But it just, as a culture, we've not been very tuned into what we're feeling. And so I think that the feeling is a way of knowing their presence.
Oh, definitely. It is. It's all about, you know, I always say, you know, and I totally agree. And I love when you bring that up all the time because it is the heart. It is about love. I mean, that's why we're having these experiences. That's why we continue to stay connected to our loved ones. And even when someone says, oh, you know, we didn't get along and this and that, well, you're still thinking of them. You're still sending them love. It's still there. So, you know, it doesn't matter what circumstance it may be. There is still the heart. There's still love. There's always that connection. And yes. That's important to remember.
Yes. And that love is light. It's it's a good thing to remember at the solstice time of the year when it's still so very dark, that our love is what distills all darkness into light, and we connect to that light through love.
Yes, that's true. That's beautiful. That's true. You know, and I always say too, and with you talking about the dark, and that I have a habit of, I light more candles in the winter than I do in the summer, because I love that glow and that warmth of the candles and the lights, because it's dark out. And I just, you know, there's always been like one of my things, and it's kind of funny because I'm like, candles in the summer, I don't do that. But then I'm kind of like, in the dark when it's in, you know, the fall and winter, let's light a candle, you know.
Well, you know, we went along when my husband and son were alive, and very often we had his mother here from Hungary at Christmas time. But whether she was here or not, we followed the Hungarian tradition in which the Christmas tree, the Christ child would bring the Christmas tree on Christmas Eve, but my husband would decorate it, and we had sliding glass doors with beautiful paper. So he was in and decorated the tree. We had dinner, and then we played music, Silent Night, Holy Night, and the doors would open, and the tree, we had real candles on the tree. That was their tradition. And there was a tree with all of these candles burning, and the music, it was just a magical moment. It was a sacred moment. So I love that tradition of all the candles on the tree burning.
Oh, it sounds beautiful. It sounds beautiful.
It really, really is.
Although knowing me, I'd have a fire extinguisher close by.
You know, that's the funniest thing. Of course, you have to get a certain type of tree so the branches are
right, because that would be, but it sounds really awesome. I mean, and you know what, that's the kind of memory and experience that, you know, you'll always carry with you, you'll always treasure, and there's going to be things that are going to remind you of it, even if you never see it again. And that's what I love about, you know, people say, oh, you don't need memories, move forward. And I'm like, no, the memories carry you along. They help you move forward in your grief.
And I remember that. And I don't remember any of those Christmases with grief, even though all of them now are on the other side. And I just remember the beauty, the sacredness. And then after Silent Night, it was joy to the world. And I just remember those days. Aww. It was just wonderful. But my husband was, of course, in charge of the lights, and we never burned the candles when we weren't all there together watching.
Right.
I guess it must be time, huh?
Yeah, oh, I think it might be. Is it time? Is it time for me to say the ending prayer?
It is, Jenna.
Indeed.
Okay.
Right on time.
All right, then we will say the Mahayana prayer. It is, may all beings everywhere with whom we are inseparably interconnected be fulfilled, awakened, liberated, and free. May there be peace in this world and throughout the entire universe. And may we all together complete the spiritual journey. Thank you, and good night, everyone.
Good night, and wonderful holidays for everybody.
Yes, thank you for joining us.